You step out of the darkness into a room where the walls are mirrored, up to the ceiling. In the reflection of the mirrors, you see yourself endlessly. The reflections shift your perception. You take a step into the sand, and the door closes behind you, and through speakers you can hear waves crash on the beach. It's almost like being at the beach, only everything here is artificial. In the middle of the room are two plastic beach chairs. In the corner, the kind of a water dispenser that you'd only find in an office building. The door has disappeared, and you have no idea where you came from or how you get out again. A man is sitting in one of the chairs. His kind eyes take you in, and he says,
"Hi.
Hey, welcome to the last episode of Land of Plenty, the podcast. I'm Julian Hetzel, and I'm a performance maker and visual artist. The Land of Plenty was created during the Forum on European Culture, a festival that researches the future of democracy. Here at the Bali, we created this art installation called The Land of Plenty. Over 4 days, interviews took place in this box of self-reflection with people in power, in an attempt to shift the perspective. We invited alternative experts to moderate these conversations. In this episode, you're going to listen to Miguel and Ed, who interview co-founder of Extinction Rebellion UK, Claire Farrell, and prominent politician in the government of Amsterdam, among other things responsible for social affairs and shelter, Rutger Groot-Wassink. When entering the room, they had no idea whom they would meet or what kind of questions were waiting for them.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? Miguel?
Claire.
You want some water?
No, I'm good, thank
sure?
you. Yeah.
Okay. So, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well today, thank you.
Yeah, you excited?
Yeah, I'm very curious.
Okay. We prepared some questions for you. The first question I want to ask you is to tell something about yourself.
I'm from the UK. I live in London. I'm not from London. But I lived there quite a long time. Most people call it activism, what I do. I'm not a very big fan of that word or that name, that label. But I guess I do a lot of that work and climate campaigning. I'm also an educator. Yeah.
Okay. Where did you sleep last night?
Last night I stayed in a hotel around the corner from here, which the organizers of this festival arranged.
How many stars?
I don't know, actually.
No?
No.
Okay, there's room service?
Not that I've used.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. But you know about our situation?
Yeah. When I came yesterday, Ece was in here with you, and then we spoke about it, and they said that all of the participants on the interviewing side of the conversations were people who were homeless, is that right?
Yeah, that's true. What do you think about that? You get a paid hotel and somebody else is not that fortunate.
You know, what I really think about it is it feels to me that there should be a recognition of people needing a roof as a human right or a space as a human right where they can stay. Yeah, I guess I find it sort of shocking in an ongoing way that isn't a widely held perspective.
Okay. What are you afraid of?
There's two things that come immediately to mind. One is my work is around the climate, and I am frightened of the future. I know that plenty of people in the world are experiencing a kind of terrorizing impact of climate breakdown already.
Yeah.
And I'm very afraid of what people describe in the sort of field as cascade risk or compound impacts, where one thing makes another thing worse, which makes another thing worse, which makes another thing worse. And I anticipate we will soon live in a greatly destabilized world, even more than it already is. You cannot turn it around because we're so far committed to the path that we're on.
I find it very frightening to think that there are
potential non-linear events which you can never come back from. The other thing that I'm afraid of is, on the one hand, afraid but also trying hard not to be, is a large scale trial which I have to do later this year. Yeah. So as an activist, as a protester, I sometimes break the law, and I have a trial in October, November, for which I have to be prepared for a potential prison sentence afterwards. Really? So I think I would be lying if I didn't say that I am somewhat afraid of prison.
Okay, so how long could you get for...
The sentencing bracket is, at the moment, stands at 1.5 to 4 years between that thing. I also have some friends who did something very similar, and they have recently had a suspended sentence, which may mean that we can rely on their experience as something to hold up to the court and say, if they want to jail me for, let's say, 1 year, 2 years, whatever, we will be able to say, what's so different about these women, because it's a group of all women who did criminal damage.
On purpose.
Yeah, only women. And multi-generational women as well, from like university student up to grandmother, which is quite a beautiful collection of beings that I'm with. Nonetheless, despite the previous case giving a precedent that suggests maybe we could get suspended sentences, so not be actually put inside, but just have that over us, I have to be ready for it in case that's what happens.
Cool. What is your first memory with money?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I have quite a damaged memory, which has to do with trauma in my childhood. I have limited access to quite a lot of childhood memory. Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that.
Then we go to the next question. What is the most expensive thing you own?
It's the most expensive thing that I own?
Yes.
It's probably my laptop.
Yeah, everybody say laptop or phone.
Yeah.
So, what is the most precious or valuable thing you own?
It's a really great question. I don't really feel like I totally know.
Let's say your house sets on fire, God forbid. What would you take out of the house first?
This wouldn't be a very good judgment, because sitting now I can think this is a very silly answer, but I think in the moment I would grab my diary. It's because I can't keep track of what I'm supposed to be doing without writing it all down. So that's how I organize my life. And we had a press office which was raided a few years ago, and the police took my diary whilst I wasn't there. And I just hated it because I just didn't know where I was, what I'd arranged or what I was meant to be doing or who I was supposed to talk to or where I was meant to be or anything like that. So I probably in the moment would like go, shit, I need my diary.
Okay.
I think.
This is a difficult question. How much money do you have?
How much money do I have? I have some savings in my account, which is about 5K. That's it.
Okay. Can you tell me about your brokest moment, your economic rock bottom?
At university, I studied fashion, and I had only just managed to go in terms of being able to actually manage materially to get the fees paid for and get the loans that I would need and whatever to be able to make sure that that was all possible. And at one point during my degree, I realized that I didn't have enough money and I needed to work to earn money. I needed to spend money on cloth to make things. But when you're learning to make things, you waste material and you use it badly. So you have to spend money on things that you know is going to go in the bin, which is quite painful. Yeah, I was worried about money, but I wasn't...
You can ask me one final question because the interview is almost over.
Oh.
I don't want to cut you off because you have a good story. But yeah, we skipped a few questions. So you can ask the last question to me then.
I can ask you a question. Tell me something about yourself that is the conversation starter that you want to begin with.
I will talk about music or helping people. Something positive. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Well, I'm Edward. Nice to meet you.
I'm Rutger. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Would you mind telling me a bit about yourself?
Oh, I'm telling about myself. I'm 48 years old, live in Amsterdam, have two children, originate from the eastern parts of the Netherlands, okay. Historian by profession.
Historian?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I work as deputy mayor.
Okay.
For social affairs and refugees affairs. And some other subjects.
In Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you been doing that long?
4 or 5 years now.
5 years, okay. I've been illegal for 12.
Undocumented?
Yes, undocumented.
Do you live in Amsterdam?
Technically, I live everywhere I can stay.
Okay. Yeah. Where are you originally from?
Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay. Well, can you tell me something about, because in my work I also work a lot with undocumented people. Tell me something about your story?
Yes.
Only if you're okay with that, huh?
Yes. The last question, you get to ask me something.
Okay.
But we really need to get to these questions, right?
Okay.
Where did you sleep last night?
I'm not currently living in my house because it's going to be renovated, so I slept some place where we stay for...
So hotel?
No, it's just a regular place. They're on a holiday and we can stay in their apartment until our renovation is done.
Are there any things you're afraid of?
If you have children, I think that you're always afraid that something will happen to your children. I mean, at least that's...
As a father, yeah.
As a father, parent. I'm afraid that something evil will happen to my children.
Being hurt or
yeah.
Opportunities being taken away?
No, especially being hurt, for example, having... mental problems or...
Them not getting equal chances or opportunities is not something you're afraid of?
I think that my family and I are in a very privileged position.
Yes. So do I.
Extremely privileged position.
Yes. Because you were born in the Netherlands, 100% from the Netherlands?
Born in the Netherlands, I was able to climb socially. I'm not from a background of wealth or with higher education, but my children are. I mean, yeah. I've done university, my wife has done university, so the prospects for them are very, very positive.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but still, it's also deeply concerning that I know that there's rising inequalities in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, and in the world as well.
Yeah, it's crazy because I have a Dutch stepfather. His name is Wim. It doesn't get more Dutch than Wim van Huizen. And he was an engineer, and he built the Hoge Snelheidslijn for the trains.
Mm-hmm.
He built some hospitals, and he helped work on a hospital in The Hague, where I live. I live in The Hague Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not allowed to go to this hospital that my stepfather that brought me to the country helped build, because they don't have funds for people without papers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just a very crazy thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
City of Amsterdam, we try to provide basic rights for undocumented. But if you look at the especially the political discussion in the Netherlands. It's extremely hard, and there is a lot to be done.
Okay, we're going to turn up the heat, get things a bit more exciting. With the privilege comes money, right? Mm-hmm. What's your first memory with money?
My first memory with money? Cool. It's doing a job.
Working?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your first job?
I was like 12 or something. The stalls in the marketplace, mm-hmm. I set them up.
Oh, okay. That's good. How much money do you have?
Maybe 2 or 3 thousand.
2 or 3 thousand. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So the name of this project is called The Land of Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe in your own words the Land of Plenty?
That's a very difficult question. The Land of Plenty has also a kind of biblical association from my point of view.
Have you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, it's a funny book. I liked it. The Land of Plenty is like a utopia.
Okay.
A land where wealth is equally being distributed.
Is there a place that you would say, this is the Land of Plenty?
The question is always plenty of what? Plenty of wealth? Plenty of happiness? I'm not sure. But in general, like I said, I think I'm quite aware of the extreme privileged position that I'm in, that my family is in.
Yeah.
And I think that being in the northeastern part of Europe, I mean, the dumb luck that I'm born here makes me extremely privileged.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wouldn't call the Netherlands the land of plenty.
No,
definitely not. Because there's a lot of poor people, there's a lot of homeless people, there are a lot of undocumented people, there's a lot of social division.
Mm-hmm.
So what is plenty? Can a society that has plenty of wealth but is still a racist, a misogynist society, is that a land of plenty? Not from my point of view.
No. So there's no place you would say is the land of plenty today?
No.
Okay.
Not for people.
Not for people. Okay. That's a good one. What does hope mean to you?
There's always hope. I think that if you lose hope, and if you cease to be optimistic about the future,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be quite hard to live your life, from my perspective. So I'm not a religious man, but in a sense, it might be even a deeply Christian desire. I mean, Christianity is a religion of hope.
Yeah.
And I think that hope and perspective is necessary to be able to live my life.
This is a tough one for me, but what is freedom for you?
Is it Janis Joplin who said freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose? I like that. In my political thought, freedom is interlinked with equality. In Amsterdam, at the city board, there's a statue of this famous philosopher who says the purpose of the state is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But from my point of view, you need to have equality before there's the possibility of true freedom. And freedom basically is being able to live your life on the way that you would like to live your life, and to be free to not only behave but also think and act in the way that you would like. But freedom, of course, is by that means also limited. My freedom ends where your freedom starts. It's always, freedom is not something absolute. It's always within a larger group, within a society.
Mm.
But being able, within all the boundaries of society, to live your life the way that you would like to live your life.
Quick question, and then the last question. Do you think art can change society?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Art is crucial for social progress. Art is obliged to provoke thoughts and to hold up a mirror to society. So yeah, I think that art is crucial.
Okay. Last question. Do you have a question for me?
Yeah. Can you tell me something about your life story?
My name is Edward. I came here in 2002. My mom married my stepdad, which is Wim. He brought us here for a better life. He described this as the land of plenty because mm-hmm. where we came from, we did not have running water every day. We did not have hot water and this would be a better place. The IND, the immigration here, because of bevoegdheid, I was under my mother's passport. Mm-hmm. They never gave me the call to pick up my passport. Mm-hmm. And I've been fighting this battle for 12 years now. And they're telling me I don't have any rights here. They call me onrechthebbend. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where I am right now. I live in the forest. Now I'm here. Mm-hmm. That's basically it in the short story.
You're living on the streets?
Yeah. I go to the Salvation Army every day to shower. Mm-hmm. I have a tent with my stuff, a sleeping bag if I need to move around. If a friend has an empty house, I sometimes get to squat there. Mm-hmm. That's basically it.
Okay. Okay.
And I have all my Dutch papers, like school, swimming diplomas, everything. I speak Dutch. I learned it in 6 months. And now I just get to be jealous at people that don't speak the language and have papers. That's basically it.
How do you manage?
Barely. Yeah. That's basically it.
But you still have hope?
Never lose hope. Never lose hope. Hmm. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the conversation.
Yeah. Ik kan Nederlands met je praten, toch?
Ja, ja, ja.
Ik weet niet of het zin heeft, maar ik werk heel veel met ongedocumenteerden.
Ja.
Misschien dat we gewoon eens kunnen kijken of... want ik werk ook met veel organisaties ongedocumenteerden.
Thank you for listening to this final episode. I hope this project gave you some insight in your own position in the world. Big thanks to all the incredible alternative experts who participated in this project and all the speakers for their openness. Thanks to the entire team of Studio Julian Hetzel and the Bali for making this happen. And thanks to the European Cultural Foundation for their support. Visit bali.nl for programs and exhibitions or julianhetzel.com for more of my work.